wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. My subject is hard-hearted, yes. A fool, no. And since I'm talking about some of you, listen with care as I describe you. The Bible prophecy is about to be fulfilled that describes men all over the world in these words. Upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars. Today men are bracing themselves for this great test, and they are becoming more and more toughened against shock, and hard-hearted against any appeal of God, so that God's word falls on deaf ears, and God's warnings strike on hearts so hard they bounce back. Christian workers speak of these lands that have long had the Bible as being gospel-hardened. Do you find yourself, my neighbor, caught in the current of these days? And must you face the fact of your hard-hearted attitude toward God and the day when you must face him in judgment? Your indifference to the eternity, whether in heaven or in hellfire, that lies at the end of your road of life? Your ingratitude to Jesus the Savior, who was willing to die on the cross so that you, a hopeless sinner, might have a chance to be saved? Your deaf ears to the voice of God and his word? And finally, you're choking the voice of your conscience and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. If these things are true of you, then you are already hard-hearted, as hard-hearted as old Pharaoh. Who was he? We shall see. My message, then, is for those who face the facts and confess, yes, I am hard-boiled, what you call hard-hearted. My message is to check you ere you also become a fool, and what that is, we shall see, too. Now come with me to Egypt of old, and we will erect our observation booth on the banks of the Red Sea. A great multitude of Jews approach the sea. As they see their path blocked by the sea, they hear a great noise behind them. They look, and we look too. See, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, whom they once served as slaves, is hot on their heels with his horsemen and chariots to bring them back to his slavery. Great sights are in store for us, but let us keep our eyes on the central figure, Pharaoh. This king had defied the living God, enslaved his people, and refused to let them go, boastfully saying, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I will not." But God accepted the challenge, and he accepts every challenge, and showed his mighty power by awful plagues. With each one, Pharaoh only hardened his heart the more, until God smote his firstborn son. This blow was too great. It was Pharaoh's knockout. Before it, he fell, and then he let Israel go. While the pangs of distress brought Pharaoh to his knees, yet he soon arose to fight back. You too have seen the mighty power of God, and you were brought low by it. But did you, like Pharaoh, harden your heart and fight back? Pharaoh was crushed, defeated, but still he stiffens his resistance of God, the living God, and gathers his army and rushes after Israel. That night the Lord protected his people by his pillar of cloud and a fire. Then he told Moses, his servant, to hold his shepherd rod out over the Red Sea. And when Moses did that, a great east wind with its God-directed driving force strikes the Red Sea. From our booth we see it. A great spray of water rises heavenward, and the sound makes one shudder. Its huge waves, driven before that wind, pile up on either side like mountains as the wind cuts its path through the sea. On it blows until the very sea floor becomes as dry as a road. God, the living God, commanding the power of his universe, performed this miracle. In the morning, the great multitude of Israel pass on through the highway their God had made for them in the sea. But a wind like that would blow their heads off. True, it would. But God drew a line on either side of the roadway, and his wind cut that line. How often I have seen when a destructive wind has ripped up every tree, yet right alongside of that path stood trees without a twig broken. The wind's line is sharp. The wind held back the waters on either side, but all was calm on the roadway. In the fear of their living God, Israel marched through the Red Sea to the other side, where they praised the Lord their deliverer. But on comes Pharaoh and his horsemen and chariots. Hard-hearted? Yes. Pharaoh was that toward God. But will he be a fool? We shall see. You are hard-hearted. You know that. But will you be a fool? Let us now see what that is. To our utter amazement, we see Pharaoh about to ride right down to his doom into that trap God had openly spread before him. Only an inexcusable fool would do that. From our booth, we cry to Pharaoh not to venture another step. We mark out the trap ahead, but he does not heed. Now suppose, at our command, we could have some of the great Bible preachers to help us. We would set up our pulpit and make our first preacher Paul the Apostle. As he steps up, he cries, O Pharaoh, and all ye his hosts, hearken! In God's dealings with you in the past, he realized your ignorance, and he was very forbearing and merciful again and again. And so has he been with you too. But now he commands every one of you to repent, because his judgment lies just ahead of you. This step you are about to take will be your doom. See those walls of water. The one you defied, put them there, and he will bring them again on you if you dare to venture in. In desperation, we now call our second preacher, Ezekiel. He cries, I stand here to declare to you, Pharaoh, and to all your men, the very message God has put into my mouth. Hear God's word. I live, saith the Lord God. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? God lives. See that Red Sea? Who did that miracle? In those waters before your eyes, God has written his almighty power. Don't be a fool and fight the living God. Do what he says. Turn ye from your evil ways, and he will show you mercy. Turn ye, for why will ye die? I imagine Pharaoh indignantly saying, What? Turn now and go home? What will we say to my people when we return without our slaves? We would be ashamed before them. True, and just as certainly, every one of us must turn from our evil ways if we would receive mercy from God. The idolater must burn his idols. The religionist must forsake his religion. The infidel resign his infidelity, and the worldly denounce the world he once reveled with. All this is most humiliating. It is to each one. When the Bible mocker becomes the Bible believer, the Christ blasphemer becomes a witness to the Lord Jesus, and the selfish grabber becomes a generous giver and benefactor, it glorifies God but humbles man. So as Pharaoh turns to go, we cry, Wait! And we bring Noah to preach. Had he not preached for 120 years to just such hard-hearted men? He proceeds, As I walked with God and did his will, there came a day when I saw my God take all men the world over and destroy them with a flood of waters. Not one remained. I hear their cry of terror as those waters rose over them. Oh, it was awful. And as I see that open grave before you, and you about to run right into it, I plead with you to stop now, for soon it will be too late. My God has said, My spirit shall not always strive with men. See that seashore? It is God's deadline. If you pass over it, it will be too late to turn back. Then Noah repeats his text again and again. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with men. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, Pharaoh, you hard-hearted. You are hard-hearted, but don't be a fool and rush into those waters of judgment. At this point, Paul jumps to his feet, crying loud and clear, It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hear it again. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. No sooner will you cross that line than God's hand will tighten on you in judgment, and his power none can resist. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But all fails, for Pharaoh becomes the fool and crosses God's deadline of mercy into the seabed. He drives with his army following him.
as Stephen takes the pulpit to cry after them, "Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." When the last man crosses that line, we now watch keenly from our observation booth. For look, what has happened? God has tightened his almighty hand. The whole army stops. Frantically, they lash their horses, but all are bogged in the mire as the dry highway becomes a swamp and the chariot wheels tear off. Now let us listen for Pharaoh's big talk. Were we to put an earphone to our ears and a microphone to his mouth, yet not one sound of his boasting would we hear. As the mountains of waters begin to tumble, Pharaoh, with a horrible shriek, leaps from his chariot to flee, but it is too late. Instead, he falls face down in the swamp, and the waters cover the scene until the seashore becomes dotted with human bodies, those of Pharaoh and his horsemen. Oh, my hard-hearted neighbor, look, look, and let this sight preach a sermon of warning to you, which you will never forget, that indeed it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Always remember that God has a deadline and only a fool would cross it. And don't you be that fool. The devil has doped you and carried you his way. Wake up, stop, and turn back to God in repentance, in submission, and in faith. It is time for you to call on the Lord Jesus for salvation. The devil tells you, wait, you can call on the Lord any time you like and be saved. That's another one of his lies, and he has even gotten preachers to preach. What a deceiver he is. In the Bible, it is, if a man is guilty of sin before God, though he flees to God's altar for mercy, he's to be taken from the very altar of mercy and killed. His call was too late. Let us suppose Pharaoh, when he saw his chariot stuck in the mud, he fell to his knees and cried to God for mercy. Would God have shown him mercy? No. He crossed God's deadline at that seashore, and his cry was too late. Some teach that God's spirits strove with men in Noah's day till the flood killed them. Wait, let us be accurate. God's deadline was before the men were drowned. When God shut that ark's door, that was his deadline. Outside was the wicked world, yet alive. But it was too late. They could have prayed and knocked at the door or whatnot. They had crossed God's deadline and their cry was too late. Neighbor, God's allotted space for you to repent will soon run out and your doom will be sealed forever. The devil knows this and he will entice and beg and push to try and get you to cross that deadline. Oh, my neighbor, hear me. Don't be a fool and cross God's deadline. Turn back to God today. But if the devil cannot lead you across God's deadline, then he tells you that you have already crossed God's deadline and it's too late. So just forget it all and have a big time in sin. But have you already crossed that deadline? The fact that you are hearing this message to its end proves you have not already crossed that deadline. Those who have crossed God's deadline would have closed their ears and cursed and raced by. You are concerned, as God has again drawn near to rescue you. So act now and get right with God. Pharaoh rode right into the Red Sea to his doom. You are on the road to destruction. On ahead is hellfire. And ere you reach it, there's a line God has drawn, a line where mercy ends, and your doom is certain. Don't cross that line. Confess your God resistance. Own up to your ingratitude to God's Son, your Savior, and get right with God before you take one more step. It may be that fatal step, the step of a fool. Here is how you can get right with God. Get alone with God, whether in your room or the woods. Get on your face before God and in desperate earnestness repent of your many and wicked sins against him. Then call on the Lord Jesus to save you as you surrender yourself, your life, and all you have and are to him to be your Lord, your King, and your Master. And you entrust yourself to him to save you. Trust only in him. Thus a work of grace, a divine miracle will take place in you. You will know it, you will feel it, you will show it, and you will never cease thanking God for his grace in plucking you as a brand from the burning and thanking the Lord Jesus for saving you. Listen, behold, now is the day of salvation as you still stand on mercy's ground. Listen, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God through his bondservant, David Brinkman.